This week's episode of the Chat Wheel is brought to you by CyberPower PC, www.cyberpowerpc.com. If you need a new computer, you should definitely go there, because Greg has a great computer, I hear. I hate him.
Hello, how's everyone doing today?
Oh, yeah. How's it going?
Pretty good, pretty good.
Yeah? All right, so this week, Mason could not join us, unfortunately. Welcome to Chat Wheel, everybody. It's January 12th. Mason couldn't join us, so we have a special guest panelist this week, Charlie Monolith Yang.
Hi.
How are we doing, Charlie?
Doing good.
All right. Greg Wettisip Laird is here, as always.
What's going on? How was your weekend?
Not bad. I didn't do anything, and that's exactly what I want to do.
That sounds similar to my weekend.
I worked
I woke up like 3 hours ago.
And the special guest this week, Curtis Aoi 2000 Ling.
Hello.
How we doing?
It's okay.
Are you tired yet?
Yeah, I'm really like tired right now.
That's what I thought. We should call this Much Ado About Dota Light, shouldn't we?
Mad Light.
Mad Light. That sounds like a great beer. Actually, doesn't it? Anyway.
No, I don't like drinking beers with light in the name, personally. Avoid those.
Do you like drinking pomegranate martinis?
Well, maybe you should.
Shit. Got me. You got me, man. I do sometimes like those. But we've got some questions for... We've got some questions for Kurt. So you recently did some traveling. You went to Las Vegas, China, and you played in the D2L, standing in for Fnatic. How was Las Vegas? Was it your first time there?
I didn't do anything in Vegas. Like, I didn't gamble and I didn't eat anywhere nice. So, like, it couldn't have been good at all. But it seemed pretty nice there, I guess.
All right, cool.
Because I arrived 15 minutes before our match was supposed to start. And
how long?
We were playing 15 minutes.
15 minutes? Holy shit.
And then we were playing until like 11 the last day, so.
So you didn't have much time to do anything other than that, huh?
Yeah. I had some time before we played our match versus VG, but I only found out that I was going to stand in like with like 5 hours to practice, Gary. So I woke up to practice in the thing, and then I couldn't practice because they had to patch Dota and the internet was really bad in the back computers. So I just woke up for nothing and did nothing, and I ate McDonald's at Vegas. Yep.
Didn't even go to McDonald's.
Oh man, that's rough.
I went to Vegas for my last birthday. It was actually pretty okay, but don't go expecting to win because it doesn't happen. You win the first day and then you feel really good, and then you're like down $500. And you're sad at that point. And kind of broke, unfortunately.
So you also went to China recently with Speed. You guys were there for like a month, is that about right?
Yeah.
How was the China trip as far as for you guys and then as far as playing Dota?
It was really, really bad, but we probably learned enough. That was okay. But, like, I guess the first day, there's a bridge, like, maybe 100 meters away from me or something. And, like, it was so smoggy that I couldn't see the bridge. And that was the first day, and I was the first one there. And after that, I just wanted to go home. Like, that was my initial thought when I just saw the air. And then the LAN cafe we went to was really nice, except they didn't have Dota installed, or it wasn't updated properly. So every time we went, we had to install for like an hour and a half because the internet at the LAN cafe wasn't that good. So when you have five people downloading, it wasn't that fast. So our practice was really bad at the start. It got better towards the end. But then towards the end, everyone was like, when we were playing our matches, everyone was already getting sick and stuff. And like the last few days, I was just too sick. I didn't want to do anything. I couldn't even play Dota really. So the trip was pretty mediocre.
So where were you guys actually staying?
Shanghai.
Oh yeah, so that was where the Like all the pictures were of like can't see the building next to you and stuff.
Yeah. Do you mean the ones like that they report on the internet, like, oh, look how bad the smog is? That's usually Beijing, but Shanghai's second to Beijing.
It was also bad. That sucks. Well, is EE still there, or is he back now?
No, he's back.
He's back, okay. All right, well, we've got a couple more questions from Reddit, sort of talking about your team schedule and things like that. Dar, why don't you ask a couple of those?
Sure. In terms of the schedules for scrims and such, what's the schedule like? I mean, is it strict? Is it not?
I mean, it's pretty standard. You play at somewhere between 17 to 19 CET, and you just play until there aren't that many scrims left.
Do you guys use the how do you guys set up your scrims?
We message people on Steam.
Okay. Because I know that there's a Skype channel that does scrim.
Yeah, we use it sometimes, but usually you want to schedule it a day before, otherwise you get days where you just don't play a game.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
So, yeah.
Are you planning on, this is actually a popular question, are you planning on getting back into streaming again? People found your streams really informative.
Yeah, I like streaming, but I don't like streaming when I'm coughing because it's just annoying for me. Because when I have to talk a lot, then I just start coughing more. So, like, for the last couple of months, I've been pretty busy, actually, with real-life stuff on top of playing Dota. And then I've been coughing. So, like, I stopped coughing when we were about to go to China. I think I streamed one day, and I got to China. And China's actually the worst place you can go if you want to stay healthy. So I got sick there, and I haven't been really wanting to stream since.
Understood.
Fair enough.
How's your morale right now in terms of after China, after... Obviously, MLG was awesome, but then D2L. How you been feeling in terms of morale-wise? Up, down?
I mean, it's fine. I don't really know what that question's really aiming at.
Someone wanted to know because...
It's like...
Go ahead.
I don't really know how to answer morale questions because it sort of depends on how you're doing today. Like, sometimes you have bad days, sometimes you have good days. But I think it's like that. And it's not like... Like, winning a tournament, it's sort of like winning the lottery, right? There are studies which say after you win the lottery, your level of happiness will return after. It's pretty short. It's like 2 months. And MLG is not exactly winning a lottery. Like, it's not that big. So maybe it's a bit faster that we return. So it's pretty normal, I think.
Okay. I'm good. I'm going to skip the rest of this question because it doesn't really pertain to anything. But someone was asking about the viability of Tiny in terms of being more relevant, in terms of being played. Do you think there's any buff he could be given other than being just a regular Wisp partner to tether to that would make him viable?
How he's sort of... I think there's a difference between balance and design, I guess. And like right now, I think he's relatively balanced, but design-wise, he's sort of flawed in order to have him balanced with a Wisp because he's the strongest hero in the game with Wisp, for sure. Like, if you hit leaking with that hero, you can't lose if you have a Wisp. Unless you massively screw up or they outplay you or something happens. So, from terms of design, it's really hard to have a hero like that who becomes the best late game and make him able to go through the early and mid game and not ruin the game by being too strong early. Because if he's strong early, mid, and late, then the hero sort of becomes ridiculous. And you do have some of those heroes in the game, but the level to which Tiny is strong in the late game is just too much. So maybe they could make him a bit stronger early game, but they would have to take away a little bit from his late game or something like that too.
Understood.
I've got a question for you about playing carry in general and Tiny and things like that. What kind of things do you have to... Like, what's the mentality difference when you switch from support to carry like at a competitive level? Because obviously it's a completely different way of looking at the game. And how did you sort of manage that? Because I think your D2L performance was, you know, you wouldn't know that you haven't been playing carry a lot lately. I thought you played really well.
I haven't really transitioned to carry properly yet. My support, it's pretty carry oriented. I'll go to side lanes, I'll farm alone, I'll push lanes. So that sort of helped make transition back.
Mm-hmm.
But as support, like, my movement and stuff has gone a bit better, which also helped my carry. So, like, if I were to go back to playing carry, I'd be playing better than I was on Dignitas. But it still wouldn't be, like, top-of-the-world carry. And I think Yeah, like, I think it's really good for any 1-2-3 player to be able to play support, I guess. Like, it's really important for Dota players.
And then my other question sort of about Fnatic and D2L was, you know, how do the drafts go? Because obviously Fnatic's drafts are not, you know, they're not used to having you and Jimmy playing for them. So how did you guys being there, like, affect the draft, and how did that process sort of go?
For the first couple of games? Okay, well, I just want to say that going into D2L, there's no one on Fnatic that thought, or like me or Demon, that thought we'd win one game. Because we knew that we were standing in like 5 hours before.
Mm-hmm.
We hadn't even talked. We hadn't played a single scrim. We hadn't practiced anything. We don't know any picks at all. We're switching roles. I didn't get there for 15 minutes. Like, everything was just so awful going into that tournament, like our conditions.
Yep.
So there wasn't any really pressure, I guess. So that meant that, like, the first few games, they were just trying to run their usual stuff, right? They early pick enchantress, they have, like, Venno, pressure on lanes, early gank, stuff like that, like, normal Fnatic style. It doesn't really work because we don't have that level of teamwork. Like, I mean, we have the level of teamwork you'd find if you had two solo queuers and a 3-stack in a pub, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they're if at a professional level, it's better than a pub, I guess, but, like, it's still really hard to work together. So then the first game versus Alliance, we're still doing the same sort of thing. The second game, we're like, all right, this might be our last game. Who do you want to play? Let's pick our five favorite heroes. And then it wasn't that extreme, but like Demon wanted to play Shadow Fiend, so we're like, we're picking Shadow Fiend. And we won that game.
Yeah, and Shadow Fiend was arguably one of his most successful heroes the whole tournament.
I mean, like, that sort of gave us a lot of motivation. Like, oh, we beat Alliance, like, oh, okay, sure, I guess we can win the game this tournament. We won the third game. But in terms of picks, like, at first it was, I don't think me and Demon really said that much, because we're like, oh, just pick and we'll try to play. We didn't even know what roles we were playing. Mm-hmm. I played a game of support, Demon played a game of offlane, like, stuff like that. But mostly it was just Fly, and Noto and Trixie, me and Demon, we sort of contributed, like, maybe, like, 5% each. But towards the end, I think everyone was sort of contributing a lot more to the picks. So it became a lot more even. Like, maybe Fly was 50%, the rest of us were 10 to 15%, or 20 and 40%, or whatever. Like, the numbers were a lot more even.
Whose idea was it to solo lane DP? Did you just
to what?
To solo lane DP.
Solo lane?
When you did the easy lane Krabulous.
Oh, we never solo laned her, but I wanted to pick DP.
Oh, okay. Cool. And, all right, I guess, I don't know. Jareth, Charlie, do you guys have any questions about Fnatic or D2L or anything else? I don't really have anything else.
How was D2L, anyway, in terms of a LAN? How would you rate it?
I really liked the setup, actually, because at the back, they had a table with a bunch of orange juice on it. And it's actually so important that the players have access to proper... Like, they had some snacks and some drinks. I just said orange juice because I love orange juice. But it's so important that players have proper access to drinks and food and stuff, especially, like, for me, I mean, I didn't have a chance to go eat, so just having a little bit of snacks there and some drinks, it helped so much. And you could definitely hear casters, though, because the boosts are just right out there. I mean, if you could hear No-Tail screaming through the casters, you're going to be able to hear it the other way around.
Yeah.
It's okay. AC missed half of it anyway.
It wasn't insane.
I'm sorry, AC, I was joking. Oh. I mean, I said he missed half of it anyway, but I had to do it.
Yeah. I mean, like, it wasn't insanely loud that it was, like, a huge problem, but if you really, really tried to listen to them, you could definitely hear.
Hmm. And they're, yeah. So they were using, like, earbud and then the aviator headphones or whatever?
Yeah, it's sort of uncomfortable the way they set it up.
I'm sure that's super fucking uncomfortable.
A headset around your neck.
Yeah.
It was just choking us, because the headsets weren't made for that, obviously. And then you have to wear earbuds and you have to wear the thing on top. So by the last day, like, half of us were putting a headset on top of our headset instead of having to wear it around our neck, because it's just super uncomfortable on the neck, which isn't good either, because then the headsets are too heavy on your head, so it weighs you down. But it's better than having it choking you in the game. Because, I mean, I didn't mention this, but, like, we're two stand-ins, but me and Demon were also sick. So,
Jesus. Like,
we're sick and we're getting choked. It's really bad. So, I don't know. But I got two sick stand-ins, and we did pretty well, so that was good.
Might have been healthy. You would have won the entire thing.
I know, right? Jesus. Seems like you just need to get stand-ins to do well at LAN. I don't know.
Shout out to Arteezy, I guess. the time was really weird, though. Like, a middle of the week LAN finals.
I mean, it was supposed to coincide with the tech show or whatever, right?
Yeah, CES.
That's the biggest thing. And then also, like, booking a room on a Friday in Vegas would be stupidly expensive, I think.
Like, how big was the actual, like, room you guys were in? It didn't seem very big.
It was relatively small. It was, like, half a ballroom, I think. One of their ballrooms, and it wasn't one of the larger ones. Mm-hmm. It was big enough. I think it served its function, and I don't think they're really expecting that big of a live audience. The seats were relatively filled, but there weren't that many seats.
How many people were there? Like, 100 or less than that-ish?
I think at its peak it was more than 100, but than 100. I couldn't really give you exact numbers.
Got it.
Yeah, I felt like the production value over there was kind of, it's like, for you, you were in actual tournament, we were kind of just watching from the outside. The production value seemed kind of, I don't know, lower?
It didn't see, it basically from the stream perspective, like, until, I guess on the last day, or like the end of the last day was a little better, but like, the first day, like, didn't even feel like a LAN. Like, they didn't have, like, crowd shots or, like, any, like, crowd sounds and... I don't know. It was like it was weird. Like besides the intro to the game, like when Anna was doing interviews with people, you wouldn't even know that it was like a LAN. I don't know. It was kind of weird.
It's
not really a LAN in the normal sense, right? Like it's not like a MOG LAN or EMS, which are dedicated to having LAN. This was it seemed like sort of a sideshow for the tech show to me. Like that's where it's hosted. Like you don't have an entire venue dedicated to a LAN, whereas all these other tournaments, you'll have like a crowd and you'll want to set up these crowd shots and stuff, but this one is just, there's not that big of an audience, I think.
I guess with Kingston as like the main sponsor for the tournament, it makes sense they wanted to do it there.
Yeah. I mean, I think like, I don't really even know how important it is to have that. Like the crowd was big enough to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's enough people watching that there was some excitement, especially like when you had the like no-tail guy flipping his head off and screaming at everything. It was pretty fun.
Well, the games are amazing. Charlie, did you get to watch it by chance?
I did watch it. I was very pleasantly surprised. Me and the people I was living with, we all sat around. They're all big Fnatic fans. So we sat around and watched it. It was super hype. We had a lot of fun. No, they're really good. We didn't expect it, so that made it all better.
Yeah, it was a pleasant... It was a pleasant surprise to see it. The games were really good, and I was, like, seeing the Western teams play well, at least, so.
I felt like there was this big disconnect, though, because you had all of the preceding matches coming up to the finals, and then you had this big break
like
in the middle.
A month fucking break?
It kind of killed my enthusiasm, although when the games actually started and the games were amazing, I got a lot more of it back, but it just felt like it kind of killed the entire momentum of the D2L. Even though it's had its own problems this season anyway.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. If they didn't have the Fnatic storyline with the two stand-ins, I don't know if I would have watched. I don't know if I would have watched it. Like, other than the Fnatic games, I don't know. I kind of felt that the game was kind of a little boring. But I'm on a plane.
On a goddamn plane. Yeah, I agree with that, I think.
It also felt like Merlini and AC were like in a corner somewhere, just kind of stuck together with a tarp in the back behind them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what it was. They were just in the back.
Well, that makes sense. That's just what it was.
They weren't out in the crowd. Like, you know, TI, like,
it's
the casters of the crowd. They were actually behind us, right behind us, and they had a camera pointed at them, and they're sitting at a desk.
So they were literally like, so if this was the, like, they were literally just like right behind you guys.
Yeah, like, I mean, there was a curtain behind us, and then they would the corner over there.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, it in that part of the tournament, I mean, it's sort of nice to have the casters a bit more towards the crowd, so that they can sort of feed off the crowd's energy. I think that would be good. I think some other tournaments do that. I don't know. I went to where was I? Like one of the League of Legends tournaments at DreamHack, I think, or no, it was at Charlie, do you remember when we went to TI2? We went to that side thing, the really big.
Oh, it was PAX East.
The Legends set up at PAX. They had like the crowd surrounding the casters, and that was pretty cool because you can really feed off the crowd a lot of times.
That's neat. Were they like on like a riser thing, like at MLG?
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
That was really cool. That was one of my favorite things. So, all right, cool. I don't know. I don't have anything else about D2L. Charlie, any thoughts about any other thoughts about D2L?
No.
God damn it.
Deep and thank
I'm
you.
I'm on a plane. I'm on a plane.
Watching it. All right. Well, let's move on to Dota 2 in general. It just won IGN's best overall multiplayer for 2013, so that's pretty exciting. It hit 7 million unique players this month, which is pretty exciting.
That's How a shitload guys, of people.
It really
say,
is.
That is a shitload of people. 7 million.
It allows us to actually have multiple different types of game modes, like ranked and ranked AP. How does everyone? It's at the end of the show, but I feel like it's a good segue.
Oh God, AUI. Yeah, how do you feel about ranked all pick? I know you're you match make a lot. Have you been playing ranked at all?
I've only played like I haven't played that many games.
I always like I win tournaments. I mean, I don't need the matchmaking. I already know I'm awesome. It's okay.
So only real problem I have with ranked AP, I think, is that I don't think heroes non captains mode should be in the game. If they did that, I think it would be fine. Like, you'd still have people picking something stupid, but it's not that bad because it's ranked, so people will pick stupid stuff back. Like, you're going to have two decent team comps most of the games at a good level. So, like, you just need, like, heroes that aren't allowed in CM for balance reasons shouldn't be in AP ranked. Like, Earth Spirit's actually game-breaking. Broodmother's definitely game-breaking.
Like, the biggest...
If they... I don't know. Yeah, sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I mean, I had actually nothing to add. I don't know why I was talking.
It's okay. I do that a lot, too. The big thing about AP is in rank mode, you'll have, like, two people chosen on one side, like two heroes, and then there'll be none on this side, and it'll hit, like, zero amount of time left, and you'll be in this stalemate of, like, who's going to pick first if it can counter pick. And a lot of the debates, man, when we hit 0 seconds left, should it randomly give you a hero, which I think they should, because right now people are just waiting until the time's up.
Like, the creeps, like, fucking spawn sometimes, and one team will still have, like, not have three heroes.
I think that's fine, though, because if they don't have heroes, you get perfect wards in their jungle that they can't counter, because right now in Dota, it's impossible to counter a ward with one sentry in the jungle. So, nice. Like, there are advantages to just picking your heroes that people don't... Like, when I play, I have a random, or I pick a hero, and I just run into the jungle and place a couple wards, and my team has a solid enough early game advantage. I don't care if they counterpick us because we're just going to outplay them with our advantages.
That is the difference between a player and us.
Like, counterpicking in Dota, there's enough item variation and stuff. Like, I don't know if you saw D2L, but one of the games, I told Demon to go BKB Hex because we had no lockdown. But if you look at that lineup on paper, Storm was a complete counterpick. It didn't matter because once he had Hex, the game was just over.
That was when he was playing Shadow Fiend, right?
Yeah, like, counter picks aren't that big in Dota unless you get, like, some hard counter because the hero you picked is Imba except against one hero.
Yeah, usually it's just people pick Air Spirit anyway and just punch
him in the face. Like, there's actually no counter to that hero, so you can just pick him right away and put a ward in the jungle.
It's kind of stupid. What do you think balance-wise should be done with Earth Spirit?
I mean, he can be removed for all I care, like, honestly. Like, that hero is actually insane. Like, if you just look, like, his skills are way too low mana cost with way too high damage early on. And I don't even understand how his ulti does so much damage. He can just keep putting rocks on you, and, like, it just refreshes, and he silences five people on you. I don't know, like...
That hero is just so ridiculous.
Yeah,
and then in addition, he can also, like, maneuver enemy heroes, like, kick them and pull. Oh,
and there's no reason any of his spells should ever go through BKB, and there's no reason his fucking third skill does 125 damage at level 1. Like, that's just insane.
Yeah.
Like, his early game's too good.
I always feel like a battered spouse when I'm being toyed around with Embers, with
it's actually
Earth Spirit. I get punched this way, I get punched that way. I don't want to go. No, don't take me.
And then after you get punched, like, you have a perfect gank on their carry, and everything's going to go fine. He pulls him away with his level 1 force staff that's too hard. Like, you actually want to kill yourself when you play as a hero.
It's like when Tuskar came in, right? We were like, look out, guys. He can initiate from far. And I'm like, all right. And then Earth Spirit came in, and he's like Tuskar 2.0 for initiation. He's like, fuck you.
I mean, do you remember when Tusker came in? He had like a 10-second cooldown and Walrus Punch.
Yeah.
And that was imbalanced. But I think Earth Spirit's worse because Tusker is counterable. Like, you can shut him down, you can stun him, you can lock him down, you can kill him. Earth Spirit, no, you really can't do anything. Like, he can, you know, he can even like punch or pull a creep into like the side so he can offlane, and then the creep's stuck in the trees. The lane pushes in, he gets full EXP. You can't even lane against him. And then he goes mid at level 3 and it's an instant kill. It's actually so hard to screw up. You actually have to be so bad at Dota to screw up Earth Spirit gank. That hero's ridiculous.
Mason, you know, does that all the time.
Yeah, when you said that, there are people in this call that are like, fuck, I screwed up this bit. It's awful.
I mean, you should feel awful because you're playing that hero.
You should feel bad, yeah. I don't know.
Shout
out to Mojo Stormstout, fucking Earth Spirit Picker, MSS, I see you.
I can't take anyone, you know, I can't respect anyone that picks Earth Spirit right now.
Broodmother's just as bad, so all the Broodmother pickers can, you know, go do stuff to themselves.
Amen. What do you think about Legion? Have you messed around with her?
I think that people underrate her first skill a lot, and they should stop going to the jungle.
Yeah, I played her a couple times last night, because I haven't really played her that much, and the Q seems really good. Like, if people bunch up, it's pretty serious. I don't know.
I like it. I mean, I've played, I don't know how many matches, but I'd say about 15 to 20 with her. And I like the hero a lot. I'm someone that, like, plays the same hero over and over again. I got ADD. So basically what happens is I listen to the same song over and over again until I get sick of it. And that's what I've done with every hero that I've played. I got, like, 120 on Clockwork. I've got like 100 on Drow. I play the same hero until I get sick of it, and then I move on. But I mean, I've played a lot. Well, I go back to him eventually, but I've played a lot of Legion. I like her a lot. The Q's really strong.
I think her W is the most OP skill, though. Like, it's
range. You can cast it on others. You can cast it on others. You know, save someone else's butt.
I mean, people think Abaddon Shield and Shadow Demon is good against Batrider, but like, you W them and it's 800 range or something. Like, you can't miss it. Like, it's just so high. And then usually they're trying to hex and lock down your carry, but you cast a W on them and then you're done. Like, you just wasted a spell on their carry. He's attacking with plus 120 attack speed and you're actually just done.
And you just lose.
She's one of the few heroes that, like, in my mind, that can go from a support, and then if you win duels from your teammates' help, can just snowball towards the end and do like 200 damage off of duels alone.
And duel is a pretty cool mechanic, right?
Yeah, it's so fucking cool.
When they introduced it to Dota 1, I couldn't understand the spell. I'm like, does it move them to a separate place? Or like, how did this?
They elevate to another plane?
Podium, and they're vulnerable. They can only hit each other or something. I'm like, wow, that's neat. But yeah.
It's a great skill. I feel like it's X.
Holy shit,
but
Charlie's
the fun version.
Werewolf. Oh my god.
I know, Charlie's just, like, entertaining himself. He's been in a plane. He's been in a photo. I've not not been paying attention. I've been paying attention. God. Charlie, how do you... I want you to talk more. How do you feel about these heroes?
I'm sorry.
Can I just say something first?
Yes.
I want to say Charlie's, like... he has a law degree, and he's like moving on 30 or something, and he's like playing around this wolf thing and stuff. I don't know.
I'd like to tell you, I didn't finish college, and Charlie, you're making me feel okay about it, because even with a law degree, you're still playing around with pictures. I'm feeling okay with myself right now.
What the fuck is this?
You guys, Charlie, I went to a bank with him, and he unstrapped his belt and started whacking people with the end of his belt. So,
I only back you, all right?
I mean, sure.
S&M better. God damn it, Charlie! Charlie, what do you think about these heroes? Give us your opinion.
I have the same opinion as Kurt on Earth Spirit. I think that hero is disgusting. Your Earth Spirit pickers are disgusting, especially you, MSS. I think, I don't know. I'm ambivalent about Legion Commander right now. I think he sucks in the jungle. Like, you go into the jungle, it takes you like 20 minutes to do something. It sucks.
It really does. It really does.
I mean, the best part is playing against it, right? And you just run into the jungle and Legion Commander has to tank creep so he's low and you kill him. That's so satisfying.
And where do you lane LC? like to get the most? Is it like a one or is it like offlane?
He's pretty good mid too. Okay. Like, give me a one or two.
I've tried to jungle Legion sometimes, and it's slow as hell. Because even with like your
first couple levels, unless you get like a godlike procs, it's just like you're like level one for like 2.5 minutes sometimes.
And I'm not a good player, so it's like what I'll do is I'll go in the jungle and I'll start, and like half the time, like by 2 minutes, I'm running back to the base because I have no life left. I'm afraid for my life.
He's insane as a one because you can. I like heroes that can sort of you lane them in your short lane, and then once they get a huge lead, you like if you're strong enough, then you can just go to the jungle and gank around, and your support can take over the lane.
Yep.
And you can zone out a hero pretty easily with only one support player because the W's range is so high. So whenever the offlane's trying to mat up with your support, you just go and W him, and then he just fights him. So it's pretty good as a short lane.
And it's like a 60-second cooldown and duel, right?
It's short.
It's pretty short. I have no idea what
it's like. Every minute.
It gets a little less after in top level, but 6 seconds sounds about right.
I mean, every 60 seconds, you can just go fuck someone's life up and ruin their day.
I don't know. Sometimes I see people like man fighting with duel, and it's like you just like walk around with the support and you duel someone, and they just like instantly die. Like, can't do anything. Like, it's so good. I like that hero. She's pretty fun. You can get Shadowblade and walk around and just kill people while they're not paying attention. I don't know. It's pretty funny.
Is Shadowblade legit? I feel like that's not legit.
I don't know. It's like okay. It's not great.
It's good in pubs.
Yeah, in pubs it's good. It's probably, I mean, I wouldn't get it and if I was like in a competitive game or something, but it's hilarious in pubs. You just walk up, hit someone once, duel them. Like, support uses one nuke and they just die and you get damage. So, it's pretty nice.
Oh shit, I can fucking like make custom doodles on my face.
Oh my god. Look what happened.
Earth to Charlie. Come back to us, big guy. We miss you.
All right. I'm lost.
Nice beard, by the way.
I don't know how to get this off now. Oh, okay, there we go.
You got it. So let's move on. We've got a couple other topics to get through.
So Alliance, Trouble in Paradise, probably. Possibly. Alliance went 0-2 in the D2L land finals. So that's kind of surprising. But I feel like Alliance has had a real problem with 6.79. It's kind of messed up their day some, I think. Anyone agree?
They had that sweet Tuskar game.
That was awesome. That was pretty amazing.
I think the issue is they just need more time to like practice and figure shit out. They had like a 3-day-ish boot camp, I guess.
They had a 2-week boot camp, didn't they? Like, I thought they were going to win the tournament.
In Sweden, they boot camped for a while.
They had like a whole 2-week boot camp.
I don't think it was that long because after, like, in the middle of December, after their games were done, they just went on vacation for a fairly long time and then they came back. Because I know when we were scheduling our D2CL match, they said they came back from vacation around like January 3rd or 4th or 5th or something. So, and then they boot camped for a little bit, and then they went to D2L. So it wasn't that much time. And, I mean, every team has their ups and downs. I think they'll figure their shit out eventually.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I agree. It seems like they've been playing well for so long, and like I know they got their TI money recently too, so you know vacation.
YOLO,
vacation TI money, man. I don't know.
So after it got eliminated though, Kelly had tweeted that changes would be coming for Star Ladder, and Bulldog had made a tweet jokingly saying that it'd be a new hero that he'd learn.
Do you think Charlie and Kurt? Do you think that Bulldog having like sort of a limited hero pool? Like, is a big deal for them? I mean, it's gotten much better than it was, but he still only plays, like, 5 heroes, right?
I think it's a bit of a problem, but it's not that big of an issue for them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people in the past who have tried to ban out Bulldog have always lost to Alliance. I mean, that's not saying much, because people just always lost to Alliance.
Yeah.
But the people who won were the ones who targeted Aki and EGM, usually, I think.
In, like, TI finals, when they ban, like, Chen and stuff?
Yeah. Like, Bulldog's hero pool was always big enough that he wasn't really that bannable. Because if you battle his two heroes... Like, for a while, he only played Lone Druid, Bounty Hunter, and Furion. So, if you ban two, they just pick one in the first phase, and it was fine.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah, I don't know. I think they'll just role switch and stuff. Kelly tweeted later that they're not going to change their team, but I don't know. We'll see.
No, I don't think they're going to change any roster.
Yeah. There's no way they're going to roster change. Yeah, I think that's pretty game.
Making that assumption based off that is pretty premature. No, it's not even worth an article, really.
Yeah, there was an article on like every single news website. It was like, whoa, God.
The power of under 140 characters, man. You can change worlds. Twitter. So. Did you guys see this? Our friends over at Join Dota have announced a league, basically a league for everyone. And I'll go through it in case you don't know exactly what I'm talking about. So there's going to be three leagues total, America, Europe, and Asia. And each league is split into divisions. Division 1 is the premier division. Premier division is a top one. And then there's 2, 3, etc. And each division will be split into multiple groups of 10 teams. I think there's an unlimited amount of teams that can join this thing. And so basically at the end of the season, teams will be promoted and regulated to higher or lower divisions based on the performance, with prize money being only paid to the premier division. So it's kind of like a tier setup where you fight to get up to the top and then win prize money. The lower divisions will also be split into regional groups, Russia, Germany, Ukraine, and Sweden. Join Dota, you sure made this complicated for us, didn't you? This will allow teams to compete and move up within their own country, which is actually a good thing. There's 4 seasons a year, 12 weeks per season, so basically 48 weeks of Dota coming out of it. And then each team will play 1 match per week starting on January 26th. And there's an unlimited amount of slots to play. So it's a great way for amateur and semi-pro teams to break in the scene. Not as good as the What Is Hip amateur tournaments, but it's pretty close, wow. Right?
Wow.
Throw it in there. So what do you guys think this is like? This will help foster the development of pro teams? I mean, I think it's probably if it's a yes, but I want to hear your guys' thoughts because you're smarter than I am in Dota.
Well, I mean, it's better than nothing. So
yeah, that's my opinion.
Yeah,
it's better than nothing. But one of the things that I would like to know is how much the prize pool is.
I think it's not very much.
It's like $100 a week or something.
I don't think the final prize pool has gotten announced for like the Premier Division, but they said right in the post that like essentially the idea is not that it's for like tier one teams, TI level teams to play. It's for, you know, like tier two teams.
I'm gonna look it up here real fast as we talk here. Local play, division pro. Good lord, that's a whole lot of colors.
It's not in this post.
Not in the post.
No, I think that it hasn't been announced yet. But if they have announced it, I remember reading somewhere that it's like, it's not going to be a lot. It's not going to be a lot at all.
And there hasn't been any confirmation, but I feel like they'll probably be some, unless they're busy, some casting, you know, the Premier League. I would think to try to give exposure. I would think they haven't.
Hopefully,
captain tell me anything, but I feel like it'd be a good way to go.
This hat sucks. Going back to the sunflower.
God damn it, Charlie.
Do you have a crown in there by chance?
No, I don't have a crown. I have one of those rice picker hats, those Asian rice picker patty hat things, and I kind of want to put it on, but I don't want to conform to a stereotype. So I won't.
Charlie, here's a question. Is there like a voice... Is there like a voice?
Can we turn you into a synthesizer?
Like, yeah, distortive. It will make your mic less shit. Why is your mic still bad?
I'm fucking.
You said you were getting a new mic, and then it's still crappy.
I didn't say I was okay. You know what? Fuck you.
I love you.
Fuck you. You're bad at Dota.
And you didn't tell me anything. I didn't know. If you think that hurt, it didn't hurt because
I'm hurt now. I'm going to turn off my webcam.
Charlie, don't be like that. Big guy.
I'm going back in my plane. Oh, how do I go back to my plane? All right, there we go.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. This league seems good. I think, like Charlie said, it's better than nothing. I don't know. Like, AUI, you guys don't really have time to plan things like this anyway, right?
I mean... the money for it can't be good the way they have it set up, I think. That's unless you thinking. Like, if you want something like that for tier one teams, it has to sort of, I don't know.
It'd have to be definitely worth the money, and the league would need a lot of activity. And the problem is, I don't think it's going to work for tier one teams, but who knows? Maybe there's lots of amateur teams out there that like would like some consistent team play. But I don't know what the... Actually, that's not... Yeah, I know. Who knows?
I mean, it's sort of good that it doesn't have a big prize pool if they're not paying the second tier, because if it had a big prize pool, all the tier one teams are playing.
Yeah.
And they're not awarding prizes for the second tier, then everyone would just play for nothing and they'll never make the first tier, I think. Like, it takes so long in terms of experience, and you need, like, such a good leader in order to break through. So it's really hard to break into the top tier, and then you'd have every good team in there, so that wouldn't work out so well for what I think their vision is, like, which is to grow Dota in general. But
yeah, I think that's the goal.
I think they're trying to develop talent.
I think it'll develop talent. My question is, how many amateur teams are going to stay together for 12 weeks at a time?
Yeah, they said there's going to be like stand-in rules and stuff, and I don't understand.
I don't think it'll be that bad. Like, 12 weeks, you have one roster change, it's only one person. And I don't think it's that bad. Like, if you're playing, I think it'll help promote stability a bit. Maybe not so much, because I would have liked to see them, like, every team gets a little money in the top, like, the first league, and then maybe the top two or three, or even just one in the second division gets, like, a small thing, so that there's, like, some incentive, at least, to playing in that, because, like, it's just like, oh, we're playing this so much, and then you lose one game, and you don't get the top one, oh, you actually get nothing.
Yeah.
So.
That's true. Something to, something to shoot for, I guess. You need, like, motivation to move forward. I think, I don't know, it seems, having organized play like this, though, seems pretty good for the smaller teams, and I don't know, keeps you active, I guess, instead of just scrimming. And although I guess if you're like a pretty good tier two team, you'll probably stomp over a lot of people. I don't know. We'll see.
I think it's good either way. I mean, I'm excited to see where it goes and if it actually is really successful.
Yeah.
I'm hoping it is. I mean, I think that some amateur choices is good right now.
So yeah, because like basically since ranks came out, NEL is like pretty dead. There's like no games ever, so there's not really a place right now for at least North American and Euro players to play besides like ranked and scrims. So
have we heard anything about the NEL? If it's
not,
if
really.
They got ideas about it yet?
I mean, they started the Korean one, and
I mean, it's just going to keep on going. I think they're just looking for more activity. Maybe when people are tired of ranked, tired of Earth Spirit, other shit, NEL will see more activity.
To me, it seems like there's still some kind of like motivation to play in that. I don't know, Kurt. What do you think about like NEL and like in-house leagues and stuff now that ranks out?
I hate those leagues. I hate all of them. So.
But even before
definitive,
right, well.
Yeah, even before this was the wrong person to ask.
Fair enough.
I don't think those environments are conducive to learning at all. So, I think
you don't
that,
like to be what? You don't like to be flamed heavily when you're learning.
I mean, the worst thing is
to feel bad.
They're flaming and they're not even right. Like that's what pisses me off the most. They'll be like, "Why weren't you here?" And you're like, "You're just wrong. Like that's not what you do in Dota." So
you're just fucking wrong. All right. Well, fair enough.
So, I was up at, in the next topic, I was up at like 5 a.m. because my sleep schedule has been a mess. And I saw a tweet by Rice. Rise?
Yeah.
Rice. and I was so excited. And I was like, guys, you should check out this tweet. But it's like fucking 5 a.m. So, no one is awake. And I'm all alone thinking about this. So, what happened was, Rise sends out a tweet that he will boost anyone stuck in ELO hell sub 5k MMR for a rate of 10 euro for every 25 MMR, which is freaking expensive. So guys, how do you feel about this?
First of all, how the fuck is ELO hell under 5k MMR? That's like 98% of like, probably even more than that. That's like an extremely high percentage of players.
Hey, do you want to be so above 5K and then lose hugely and then go back down for money? Let's do that.
So fucked up.
I don't know who the fuck would buy something like that. It's just throwing
Dude, I'm sure he's made a lot of money on this. Like,
that's really sad.
People. I know that this was a big thing in League. Like, people did this all the time.
I mean, they still do it in League. You can't play the Asian servers without running into boosters.
It just doesn't make any sense to me because it's like... Stupid. Go ahead, Charlie.
Never mind.
I mean, I think it's a pretty smart service. Like, you're preying on the people who are stupid enough to believe Elo Hell exists, so they're going to pay money for something even more stupid.
It really is. Like, if I got, like, I don't know what mine is because I haven't been able to play Dota much this week, but I'm pretty sure I'm in, like, 3,000 area or something like that. I'm not that great, okay? I'll probably be worse now that I've said it. I'll be like, hey, 30. Anyway. But if I got boosted up to 5,000, I do not expect to stay there. I expect to be thrown down to the dredges once again.
I mean, like, you have to, like, sort of... What the fuck's going on in Charlie's background?
I know. It's...
Charlie subbed him, so he subbed himself out, I guess. That's what happened.
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
I'm buried. Can I leave? I didn't know it was live.
Charlie, there's going to be a Scumbag Steve meme about you now.
I've returned.
I don't know. Kurt, what are you... do you have any opinions besides that?
Oh, my God.
I can't remember, but, like, I saw what happened to Charlie on the stream. I'm just like, Charlie started looking really weird. But, like, different.
I feel different inside.
I actually had a point. I can't remember now. Like, I think that's Snaking Sister, because, like, Charlie's daughter or something, right?
Hey, can you kill yourself?
Oh, my God. Wow, that just got heavy. Holy shit. Oh, man.
I mean, I think my point was something like, oh, yeah. The Arieth was talking about, like, who would pay for that. But you have to realize, like, the people who believe in Elo Hell, like, the reason they believe they're there is because they think God hates them and he gives them more bad allies or worse than them every single game. And that... the only common factor in every game isn't themselves, it's the fact that they have bad allies. So those are the people who think that they need to improve by playing with better people, and when they play with better people, they'll be able to carry their team somehow.
It's like the, what is that, Dunning-Kruger effect or something?
Yeah, people, I mean, it has to be worse than that. Like,
people are so bad, they don't even know they're so bad.
Unbelievably, like, obnoxious to think that you're so good that everyone else in every game of yours, like, just sucks. Like, you have to be so self-centered for that, I think.
Here's an idea. Do you have any advice to people to get better at Dota? Like, because, like, I go in the same position where it's like, I'll be playing a game, like, this guy's doing it wrong, this guy's doing it wrong, that guy's doing it wrong, Greg's terrible at the game, so on and so forth. And in my mind, I'm correct, but I'm pretty sure that I'm not correct. Do you have any advice on how to improve something like that, where whether it's just more mechanical knowledge or we're just destined to be terrible?
Can I sort of answer that with, like, how I think people should be aiming to improve in general?
Sure,
like,
can.
Absolutely.
So I think there's a few things you want to know, like, look at before you decide that you want to improve. It's like, do you want to get, like, better in the short run, or do you want to get better in the long run? And if you get better in the short run, you'll sort of experience, like, you'll get a bit better. You might go from, say, 3K to 3,500, and then you sort of remain static there. Or in the long run, you'll go from, like, 3K to 2.8K, and then you'll start going higher. And then, like, I think that, like, on Reddit and stuff, people tell people to only play, like, one hero or something. I think that would be, like, the short run gain, where you get a bit better because you're playing one hero and you know it really well. But for a long run, I think that you still need to be able to, like, learn every single hero in order to play a good game of Dota. So you have to maybe lose a bit while you're playing every hero and you learn stuff. And then over time, you just become a better player. Because if you're doing it for the short run, the reason I think that you sort of flatline is because it's not like no one else is improving too, right? Like, everyone in the ladder is getting better at the same time, because I think people usually don't get worse. So you improve a bit and then you start improving at the same rate as other people. So what you really need to do to get better is you need to start improving faster than everyone else. And that's learning, like, core mechanics and stuff like that, and playing every hero.
All right, so we're pretty much all in agreement that boosting is just kind of a waste of money for gullible people.
I mean, for the most part, of course, right?
Yeah. I need to cancel that check. All right, moving on. The final topic we have, which makes sense to me, actually, is the other D2L, the Dota 2 Lounge scamming fiasco, where they've been kind of taking donations from known scammers and allowing them to trade freely. They've come back and said, oh, we didn't know, and now we've, you know...
You can't really say it like that, right? That's definitely a misrepresentation of what happened.
Okay, what happened?
Like, their donation system's automatic. Like, if you donate, you'll get a tag. And they, like, they didn't fully link their site with StreamRep, but I don't think it was so bad that they were like, hey, if you donate, I'll give you a tag which will allow you to scam someone, and they're working directly right. with them. I don't think it's... Like, that's sort of what it sounds when if you say it like that, but I don't think that's what happened at all.
Right, but don't you think as a reputable website that's been trading for a very long time now that they should have been linked to StreamRep just because they're a professional site? Or trying to be professional?
They should have, for sure, but it's not like they were totally maliciously, like, were selling you the ability to scam someone, sort of deal with.
No, I don't think they were trying to scam. I'm saying what happened is I think they knew they were taking money from scammers, but they want to keep their servers going, so they're taking it anyway until it exploded in their face. And then they decided, well, now we need to ban them because it's gotten a little hot. I honestly feel that's kind of what happened, but that's just my take on it. Opinions, so like assholes, everyone's got one.
I'm kind of there on that. I don't know. I mean, that site must be expensive as fuck to run. So, like, on mm-hmm. the one hand, I can, like, kind of sympathize with that, but the thing that really got it for me is, like, as soon as there was that Reddit post, like, immediately they banned, like, a bunch of scammer profiles, so it seems like they, like, knew it was a thing, and I don't know. I guess it's just, like, damage control. It's whatever. I've never really used that site anyway, but how do we... You know what? We need to get betting on our show. How do we do that? First person to cough and the number of times Charlie uses the airplane camera?
Well, he's got pretty hair right now. I think... I don't know. I mean, I can understand they need the money and all that. And that's just my take on it. But they moved pretty quickly once it came out.
Yeah.
They didn't need to wait at all. It wasn't even difficult. It's just like, all of a sudden, boom, people got banned.
Yeah. Charlie, as the resident superhero, how do you feel about this?
Have you gone to them and taken them down?
Go to their house and take them out like Marco?
I don't know. I don't know a lot about Dota 2 Lounge and how they do things. So, I mean, I can't really comment on whether or not they're like purposely letting scammers in or they just have an automated system or whatever. But I mean, when it was brought to their attention, they did shut it down, and that's really all you can say about it.
Yeah. Is there like a tribal dance going on back there? Yeah,
the people fucking here are playing DDR. Tell me, you're
did not realize you're on. Did we not realize you're on the most prestigious show?
Look! It's all this person's fault. All the noise. All this guy's fault. His name is the boy.
Oh my god! Wow, that's brutal.
And you got to remember on this D2L thing. There was some other people came out and said, hey, I've worked in the site. We knew about it. And we just kind of let it go for the money. Which I can understand, but, you know, still kind of shitty. Still kind of shady. But then again, you're on a trading website for video game. That's
who,
not Steam Marketplace.
Who reported that, though? Like, they went on Reddit and they just posted
it?
Yeah,
it was just some random person.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he was working on it and he didn't report it, and now he feels morally obligated to tell everyone how he's better. Like, that guy is fucking in the blood. That's all.
I think it was another guy that posted about the scammer, and then underneath that Reddit thing, another guy said, hey, I've worked as on staff there, and I'll tell you that, yes, we knew about it.
Yeah, I don't think it was the same person. Hell, though. I agree. I agree with
that's
Kurt.
Pretty, that's like, questionable. I don't know. Like, if you know about something like that and you don't do anything and then you try to take the moral high ground after it.
Yeah.
That seems pretty, questionable.
No, because they want the money. I can't blame them for it. It's just not cool.
I mean, there are places who, like, I don't know, like, Velvantage, they'll ban in waves too. Like, it's, like, I just don't want to say, like, hey, they're purposely just letting scammers donate so they can make money without, we don't, like, there's no real proof, right? Like, you have one guy on Reddit posting. And you have, like, sort of, like, it seems like that way, but it doesn't, like, we don't have the full picture at all. So, like, saying that, hey, they're just helping scammers is, I don't know. I don't think you should really say that, like, a show of people.
Fair enough. I think that's completely valid.
Yeah, I agree. So, that's all the topics we have.
Do you have Do you guys have anything else that you wanted to talk about, or what's? If not, I've got a question for Kurt. What kind of stuff are you going to be doing with Speed in the future? Do you have any like upcoming tournaments or anything like that?
I have no idea. Like, thank God we have a good manager, but I only know we're playing D2CO, and I don't even know when that is, so I have no idea what we're doing.
It's on the 15th.
Okay.
Angry Sunflower.
He's now singing.
The Angry Sunflower is giving us our instructions. So, alright, cool. So you're playing in that. There's nothing else, really. You guys have a little bit of a downtime, which is probably nice.
What's your favorite anime?
Mine?
Yes.
I never really watched anime. I like manga, but anime...
Manga, then.
Oh. I don't really know at the moment.
If you turn my camera here, I get anime all on my wall, too.
That was like half the questions in the Reddit thread were about anime.
Really?
Yeah,
for me? For you, yeah.
And EE Sama.
I mean, there's no way they should be asking me stuff. About, like, I know I'm a team with EE, but like, I like it. I'll read it, but it's not like it's my life or something. It's
guilty by association.
Yeah.
Really, pretty much. That was my question.
Charlie, do you have anything you want to ask Kurt? I'm afraid to ask, actually.
Why are you so fat?
Oh, my God.
I mean, you know, Charlie's like, hey, I'll see you at D2L.
And then he ditches.
And then he doesn't even message me saying he can't make it. He just doesn't tell me at all. I have no messages on WhatsApp or Skype.
So I had planned on going on the 8th, but then I couldn't, and then it was already over, and then...
Sorry, I can't... Like, all I hear is, like, something ditcher.
I'm going back to my spaceship.
And now he's in the spaceship.
Fair enough. Alright, where can people find out stuff about you, Kurt?
Sorry, I couldn't hear that.
Where can people find out about you, like, social media and things?
My Twitter's at AER_2000. I will hopefully be streaming again at Twitch, same name. And, do I get shoutouts here?
Absolutely.
Sure, I guess shoutout to our sponsors. I don't even know who they are.
Who are your sponsors? Yeah, I don't know.
Like, I sort of know. Like, it's Enjoy, like, the Lack Cafe.
It's a secret.
And, like, the Speed sponsor, like, they keep, like, I'm not too sure who's officially sponsoring us and who's not. So, I guess sorry to them.
Shout out to your sponsors for now.
I guess there's, like, Weir and Paul and the personal sponsors who are the biggest ones right now, but yeah.
All right, Charlie. All right. Shout outs to Boeing and who else for providing your plane.
Follow me at Twitter, Monolith Dota. That's all.
God damn it, Charlie.
Greg, do you have any shout outs?
The shout out to Cyberpower PC, our sponsor, and shout out to Mason for not being able to be here. I know he would say thank you for everyone that watches the show, and thanks to the stream chat, and thank you to Coddle Guy for bringing out the trivia bot. People really seem to be liking that. So.
Yeah, Coddle's been the man in the chat. I've been watching him.
Yeah, he's off and on, giving lots of trivia questions. So,
I still recommend him. Go check out his Twitch account, which is twitch.tv/CoddleGuy, I believe, one word. Check that out,
and then follow me on Twitter at WhatASipTV. That is all. Thanks for watching.
Yep. As always, you can follow all of us at Darith on Twitter at WhatASip at @WehDota, and obviously our guest here today. Well, Ethan, thank you for joining us. This is actually like the most people we've had watching the show ever, surprisingly enough.
Yep.
So thank you. We'll be back next week. Kurt, thanks for coming on.
Yeah,
Charlie, thanks.
It was a pleasure. The people in chat answering Dota questions are, ooh, mixed up.
Questionable. Man, that's fucking brutal. But thanks, guys, for watching, and I hope you guys tune in next week. And if you want the audio-only version of this, it's available on Podomatic and on iTunes. So thanks for watching, and hope everyone has a good day.
Thanks, everybody.